it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the Mark's difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. I'm not going to do the Eagles question anymore because it's like 92%. I feel crazy. What do you have with your wings? Blue cheese or ranch? Blue cheese still hanging on at 63.7%. Oh, can I ask you something, Mike?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried blue cheese, or are you just not interested in
it? No, I've tried it.
Okay.
Yeah, years ago.
Okay.
Too thick.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Because I'm actually surprised you like ranch, because generally, you're not like a creamy white sauce kind of guy.
Yes, don't like sour cream.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even if even if American cheese looks too melty, sometimes you'll point at it and go, is that mayonnaise? It's true. It's true. It happens. So
it's true.
Okay.
No, I think I chose ranch because it's not as thick as blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, yeah. That's
all right.
I think that's why I kind of sort of went with the ranch.
All right. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. I just wanted to know. If you missed it, Elliott Shore Parks reported earlier that Dallas Goedert is dealing with a knee sprain that could keep him out of the game on Sunday. Happened in the Dallas game. I would love to know when it happened in the Dallas game, because it is my recollection that he finished the game. Certainly wouldn't be the first player ever to finish the game and then be hurt afterwards. Mm-hmm. But must have been significant enough to where they were basically off the entire weekend and it's still bothering him. Joining us now, Brian. My screen is locked. There we go. Joining us now, Odyssey NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Call is brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. Baldy, what up?
I don't know. It's hump day here, I guess, you know, in the football world. We're on the schedule now. We're all in a routine, man. Feels good to talk about real football versus all that stuff we did for 6 months. So we're in a good place right now.
Yeah. I think we start feeling it it's funny, at WIP, every year when training camp comes, we're always looking forward to it. Like, oh, we get to talk about football again. And then 3 days into it, we're like, well, there's nothing really to talk about during training camp, you know?
You're right. And preseason games are dreadful. And so, yeah, you got 6 weeks of like, okay, well, let's get to some games. So here we are.
Here we are. So we will get to the Chiefs game second. This is our first opportunity to talk to you about the Cowboys game. Let's start on offense. Eagles looked real good for the first three drives, then kind of stalled out the rest of the game. What did you see good and bad from the Eagles offensively on Thursday night?
Well, I mean, they didn't run the ball well, you know, and so that was an issue. And Saquon really couldn't get going. He had a couple early. But I didn't think they did a great job. You know, against the Cowboys front, give them credit. They played much better than I think anybody thought, especially without Michael Parsons in there. So that was part of it. And then, you know, Dallas played a very soft umbrella zone behind it. And Jalen was a little unwilling to basically take any shots at all, you know, into it. And played a very conservative brand of football, didn't score for the last 20 minutes. And so, you know, they came out of there, you know, with a 24-20 win, and, you know, if CD catches the ball, I don't know if they win that game or not, you know? So unusual, you know, the amount of drops he had and when he dropped them and all that kind of stuff. You don't normally see that from 88 there in Dallas. So I feel like a win is a win, but, you know, they weren't good against the blitz when Dallas did blitz in the second half. And that's got to change, because that's what Spags is going to do on Sunday.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, no, they came free on a couple of those blitzes. They just didn't get Jalen to the ground a couple of those times. Baldy, when you're watching the all-22 of the offense, a question for me is A.J. Brown and whether or not was it schemes from the defense that didn't allow him to be effective last week? Did it look like it was something physical, meaning is he getting separation? Is there explosiveness there when he's in his routes and coming out of his routes? Like, what did you see from AJ and why he wasn't as – he wasn't really targeted until the fourth quarter?
Well, he wasn't even in the offense. I didn't look at him. They played zone, and so there's holes in the zone. Mm-hmm. You got to throw with some anticipation. I mean, you know AJ is going to come back to the ball. He's going to do everything fundamentally correct to win the route and catch the ball.
Yeah.
But you got to throw it to him, and they didn't. And, he could be at the X receiver there against, a cover two zone. He's going to curl between that corner and safety. If you want to whip it to him, it's there.
Let it go. Yeah.
And you got to let it fly, though, and he didn't do it. I don't know if that's on Jalen. And then the other thing is, if Jalen first read isn't there, he's moving. And so when he's moving, all of a sudden, whatever route you're trying to develop or to win, now his eyes are someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to. That's why, that's why Dallas caught seven balls and a lot of stuff was just underneath. They just kind of took what the Dallas defense gave, which is exactly what they wanted Philadelphia to do.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have explosive plays in the game outside of the one shot down the field to Jahan Dotson. So anybody, and you know this, Ike, like everybody charts certain things defensively in a game. And one of the things that you always chart is how many explosive plays you give up.
Mm-hmm.
And, Dallas feels like if you give up one explosive play to Jahan Dotson, that, for the most part, you did pretty good. And so, one of the things that I'm sure Dallas is checking is, they didn't get beat down the field by anybody.
Yeah.
So then defensively, there were two things we were worried about, I think, going into the game from an Eagles defensive perspective. It was, can we get pressure from the edge? Now, not playing with Jalen Carter is a big part of that. Didn't get pressure from the edge. And then also we were worried about the cornerback two situation. And both those things seemed like issues there. When you're looking at the Eagles defense, what did you see there?
No, they went after Adoree. They went after Adoree Jackson, and he didn't really have an answer. They ran crossers and shallow crosses, and he wasn't close. The one big catch that CD had there on that touchdown drive. I mean, he just got beat across the field. He couldn't really stay with him. But I thought they went after him pretty good. That showed up. Now he did make a couple plays, so I'm not going to just kill him here. But for the most part, they went after him pretty good. And then the pass rush was non-existent, and so Dak played very well, and he had plenty of time to make his reads and see the field. But I didn't see much from Jalix or Nolan Smith or, anybody, Aziz or, Josh Uche probably had the best rush of the night. They didn't do much from that department.
So on to Sunday, Eagles Chiefs lose the first game. I think we all thought, it'd be nice if they won that first game, and they didn't come into this game needing it. The Chiefs defense got skewered by the Chargers, specifically by Herbert. Was that just a bad game, or were there signs that the Chiefs defense is going to be pretty vulnerable this year from a passing standpoint?
Well, I mean, I thought Greg Roman called a great game for the Chargers. I mean, they have not been an explosive passing team at all, at any point last year. But, now that they've got Keenan and they got Ladd McConkey and they've got, Johnston and then a couple of rookies that are really talented, like they took their shots and they did not get much pressure. Joe Alt pitched a no-hitter at left tackle for him. Kansas City brought nothing off the edge, even when Chris Jones was out there. And he goes where he thinks he can win. He didn't get near Justin Herbert. Now, they blitzed him a couple of times and they did get home and affected him a little bit, but they never affected Justin Herbert with the four-man rush. Mm-hmm. And so that's a concern because not many people can hold up, like that in this league right now, defensively in the secondary. They've got some good players back there. Jalen Watson's a good player. McDuffie's a good player. But I thought Justin Herbert saw the field great, and he took his shots, and they made the Kansas City Chiefs really pay for it.
Barty, listen, you and I both know you can't go burying Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, right? So I'm trying to resist this sort of temptation that a lot of people are starting to fall victim to, the Super Bowl game and then now this opening game. people starting to think the dynasty, the Patriot. I mean, the Chiefs thing. It could be the end of it. You still seen enough in that film and watching him against the Chargers that there's enough to be worried about there with Patrick Mahomes over there, right?
Well, I mean, Mahomes put the whole team on his back, Ike, in the second half. I mean, he made every big play there was. He was, he's diving and the ball's just barely coming out of his hands. I don't know how he got it over Drew Tranquil's head, but he did, into winging arms. I mean, he took three deep shots to Tyquan Thornton, who can fly.
Mm-hmm.
The guy ran a 4.28 at the combine. They connected on one of them. If they connect on two out of the three, they don't lose the game.
Right.
He got behind the defense. He can run. Now, look, they lost Xavier Worthy on the crosser on the third play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big part of it. But you still got Hollywood. You still have you just have Mahomes. And Andy's going to draw up, as you know, Ike, he's going to draw up 10 new plays this week. He's got three extra days. He's going to look at the Eagles' defense. He's going to look at a safety issue. He's going to look at a pass rush issue. He's going to look at a corner issue. And he's going to exploit it.
Yeah.
There's going to be new plays that nobody has seen before in Philadelphia. It's going to be there. Now, whether they execute it or not, I don't know. But he's going to have 10 new plays up there that we haven't seen yet. And it's just a question of when he pulls them out and if they execute them right. I mean, there's Travis Kelce running down the sideline for a touchdown free. Nobody near him. Now, some of that was Mahomes. Some of that was by design. But, they shook him loose and they got right back in the game on that touchdown.
Yep.
So what do you think happens on Sunday, Baldy? I know, at least we've seen, one game from each.
Yeah.
It is the opening game at Arrowhead where the Chiefs don't usually lose, but it does feel like the Eagles are the more talented team. If you had to make a pick there, what do you think happens on Sunday?
Well, I would pay StubHub, price tickets to go watch Trey Smith and Jalen Carter go at it. Like, they're going to see each other a bunch.
Yep.
It's just a heavyweight fight inside there. Trey Smith's their best lineman. Jalen's their best player. Like, that's good. But, I was really encouraged by Jihad and how he played, Zach Bond. Like, I think they're going to create a lot of problems. I mean, I don't know if Kansas City is going to have success running the football. I mean, I really don't. Like, the rookie left tackle, somebody's got to go test him. Whether it's Jihad coming off the edge or, one of these guys, has got to go test that rookie left tackle. I like the Eagles in this game. Jalen looks like it's conservative. But if he doesn't turn the ball over, they always have a chance to win. And I'm sure, Landon Dickerson, I don't think he's going to be out there. That's a big loss. But still, Saquon, you got to keep giving him the opportunities to go break one. And I think he's ready to do that.
Yeah. Real quick, you brought up some of the other young players over there on defense. A guy who stood out to me, I'm interested in what you saw from him. Jordan Davis, Baldy. I thought Jordan Davis had his best game as an Eagle in his time of being here. He played more snaps. I think he played like 56 snaps. He was still effective in that second half. What'd you think of Jordan Davis's play in that game last week?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, you're right. I mean, it was the best game he played. And he played, with maybe because Jalen, wasn't available.
Yep.
He had to play a lot more snaps. But that's what I told everybody in the Jordan Davis camp. Like, until he stays on the field, he's never going to be a great player, ever.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to be out there enough to make plays. But he was very, very effective. And he was a problem. He was a problem for Dallas. And so kudos to Jordan. He lost a lot of weight. His conditioning is much better. I know he's a good kid. I know he wants to be great and have a chance to, really make a name for himself here. I know it's important to him.
Yeah.
And he played like the game is important to him on Thursday night.
Yeah.
All right, Baldy. We appreciate it as always. We will talk to you next Wednesday.
Let's do it.
Same time, same place. All right. Thanks,
Baldy. All right,
brother. There he is, Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Call is brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. It's like he said two things, Baldy, when we're talking about quarterback, that seemed little bit at odds with each other. The first thing being, he was noting that Jalen was sort of unwilling to take shots, you know, lead guys, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And at the end...
Throwing with the anticipation.
Yeah. At the end, he was like, but you should just play safe and not turn it over. There's got to be... And they've been searching for this. And the games where they find that middle... Where, because you're going to turn the ball over sometimes.
Yep.
Great quarterbacks who have it's great years turn the ball over.
Yeah.
You're not going to have every year where you turn the ball over five or fewer times.
Yep.
I know Lamar did it last year and Josh Allen did it last year too, but it's probably not going to happen every year. That when they find that middle to where they feel like there's the it's worth the risk,
mm-hmm.
that's when their offense is the best. Not just when they are absolutely committing to not turning the ball over. And them finding that balance, that's like the magic potion, I think, for the Eagles.
Well, when you
offense.
Say them, it's Jalen.
It's well,
I mean, that's who it is.
Yeah.
Hey, let's be honest about that. That's who it is. And at some point, I understand him wanting to protect the ball. I'll never say be reckless. But I've often said, those quarterbacks that's in that tier that I view him to be in, there has to be a fearlessness of throwing the football to your guy.
Because the minute you think about it, it's over.
It's over.
That's
how quick the windows close on you. It closes that quick, and that's usually what happens is he sees it, he's like, and then he pulls it down. And it's like now you're trying to let somebody sort of work their way open. And I think that's where the receivers at times will get frustrated is they're expecting the ball to come out at a certain time in these timing routes. So, yeah, it's Jalen has to get to that point where, again, you don't want him reckless with the football, but you want him to have that confidence that in himself first and foremost, and then secondly, that your guy is going to make the play for you.
Sure, yeah.
He's not going to leave you out to dry like Nelson Aguilar would. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he's going to go and make a – I think it was a couple times last year AJ fought for the ball and broke up an interception or something like that. So, like, the receivers come back to the ball. They don't just sit there and let the ball get picked off. And I think that when he gets to that comfort level, I think that's when the offense will start to click. Yeah, you want everything to be designed perfectly, and you want your guy to be wide open when you throw it to him. It just doesn't work that way.
No, not usually.
It just does not work that way.
Well,
all the
it
time.
Wasn't for. By the way, Dak played a good game. Dak threw into some tight windows.
Yep.
Dak, like even the catches that we thought CeeDee Lamb should have. It's not like he had 5 yards on the guy. He had a step
right.
on him.
Yep.
You know, the I was looking at the other two things. If he is just going to be read one. And then scramble, teams are going to eat that up. I'm sorry.
Yes.
They will. Because
the defense, we love that.
Yeah.
That's how we play Mike.
Because they'll wait for you.
Yeah.
Instead of that first game, they didn't expect him to run as much as he did. He got away with it. But I think partially that's why the offense slowed down is all of a sudden those lanes for him to run.
They weren't there.
They weren't there anymore.
Yeah.
So, and if you expect Spags to not expect that you're going to do that. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is I was looking, there was a chart that had the amount of time to throw and how the depth of target, so how far
the
you were
distance,
throwing the football.
Okay.
Yeah. So he had both the most time to throw, over 3.5 seconds, and the shortest depth of target. So it was like 4.5 yards,
wow.
And he had over 3.5 seconds to throw it. So it was a good game, but those two things can't coexist, because I'll tell you what will start happening. You'll start getting sacked, and then those turnovers will happen the wrong way. All turnovers are bad. But if he's throwing an anticipation throw that he misses, that's one thing. It's another thing where he's running around back there trying to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he throws the ball away or takes a sack. That's when it gets bad, is when the decision. So at least he was making the quick decisions, a decision to run. But I don't think that decision to run is going to. He's a good athlete. He is not a Lamar Jackson level athlete.
Well, and here's the thing. To that, you don't want him running around like that.
No.
Every week.
No.
Like it's great when he does it out of necessity, but going into a game thinking I'm just going to run around and make plays with my legs, that's the defenders are too fast, too quick, and too vicious when they deliver hits to you, and eventually you wind up getting nicked up somewhere. So, yeah, and we brought up the running game. The running game wasn't effective last week, and they stuck with it.
Yep.
And it still didn't crack. And you throw for 150 yards. It's hard to win football games that way.
Yes, you've got to be perfect.
Yes, it is hard to win football games that way every week.
There's one thing, Jack and I were talking the other day. I won't fill you in on the rest of the football conversation because it makes Jack look bad. But
well, it was high-level football talk.
Yeah, high-level football conversation. But we say sometimes with the offense, we say they did enough to win because they won the game. Mm-hmm. We never say, and that is when the defense plays well. We say the offense did well enough to win. We never say when the team wins 37-34 that the defense did enough to win.
Right, we roast them,
We never say, you know, we said, well, all they needed to give up was 34 points.
Well, we did
points.
One time in our life.
What, the Super Bowl?
Yes, that's
Super
the only
Bowl.
Time we ever
Brandon
did it.
They made a play. It wouldn't matter if they stepped up.
Yeah, that's the only time we say
But usually we don't say that.
Yeah.
And it just shows, like, you want the defense to play well all the time, just like you want the offense to play well all the time. It has nothing to do with just scoring three more points than the opposition.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we get locked into that and we say, well, they only scored 21, we scored 24, so we must have played well enough. We don't flip that around. We don't flip it around when it's nobody said that the Bills defense played well enough to win on Sunday night. Nobody. You know, they won.
They made the one play late in the game.
Yes.
But no one said they played well enough to win.
No. The defense is good because they won, you know. All right. 205-592-9494. Introspective from Baldy there. So Baldy said he didn't think Landon Dickerson was going to play. He was on the field today, but he was just doing individual drills. So, dude, they... Just give Landon Dickerson a couple of weeks, man.
Baldy with these linemen.
I know. He has a window into the linemen.
Yes, he does.
100% he does. So coming up next, we may have to get an emergency meeting of the Eagles Insider of the Year committee together based on Elliott's report.
Timely reporting.
Timely reporting. Look,
it was timely.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Well, this is how he won Eagles Insider of the Year. He got one scoop and the right under the wire.
Yeah, what was the scoop?
Aziz Ojulari.
Oh, right.
And it wasn't even a scoop. He just thinks they're going to sign him.
Well, he said
he was on it early.
He was on it early.
I understand. I get it. I didn't see any per sources.
Well, the thing to remember is he didn't get the most first place votes in Eagles Insider.
Right. Yes, y'all point that out a lot.
He did win the voting. He didn't get the most first place votes. Yeah. So Eagles Insider Leader power rankings are next. 205-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.